Welcome to Houndsy, the Steel Army Podcast. I'm Dan Yost, and with me here to discuss not one, not two, but three losses on the spin for the Hounds. You can make it four if you want to go back to last season. You can also make it five games with a complete one goal between them. But we won't that far back. Sorry. With me to discuss it, commiserate, be optimistic about the future. You heard him in the background as Vesty. What's good, man?
Not much. I wasn't very optimistic. I guess I was optimistic at the end of last year, and then I was mad after the season. And now I just feel numb, which is not a great way to start the season.
No. Not at all.
But I guess we'll get into it.
That's probably the reason we're here. Also join us, you know the voice, you love the man, it's Devin. What up?
Not too much. Yeah, Vesty, I feel you. Like, it's I almost feel more numb now than after the Detroit game. It's just like, oh, well, this is what it is now.
Yeah, as I was sitting on the couch Saturday, Brittany looked over at me and was like, remember when you used to get mad about losses? And I was like, yeah, I think last season broke me, and I don't know what to feel right now.
That's reasonable. Gentlemen, I also need to point out, this is the first time in a long time the lady isn't on the podcast tonight.
That is true.
So I don't know if we're allowed to keep the toilet seat up or do stuff like that, but probably the first time in a while, so. Do with that as you wish.
We needed our reporter in the field for this last game.
Yeah, she went to Louisville, and that's why I'm a little sad that we can't get her on. We'll get the boots on the ground report, I'm assuming next week when she gets back on here, but not tonight, for whatever it's worth. We're going to kick this off going back a week and a half ago now. We were all very optimistic. It was home opener day in our lives. Obviously, the scoreline didn't go too well, but let's focus on the day itself. I was a somewhat late attendee to tailgate, but in the about 90 minutes I was there before kickoff, I made up for lost time quickly, and was. I would say intoxicated on my way in the gate, so very efficient use of that time. Devin, I saw you there on game day, or that day. What was your pre-game activities like?
Oh yeah, I never quite make it to tailgate. Every once in a while, I will. I gotta save the beer until I get in the stadium usually. So wasn't too much of a pre-game activity for me as usual. Just. You know, getting the kid ready and then making it out to the game.
You only drink the expensive stuff in the stadium.
That is correct, unfortunately. And you know what? I got one of the... in fact, I got the last Hounds souvenir St. Patrick's Day cup.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the banner. Got the cup.
Yeah, no. Nice. I did get a banner, so...
I didn't get one on the day, but sources from inside the organization hooked me up sometime after, and I very much appreciate that. Vesty, what was your pregame?
None. I showed up, I don't know, 45 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
I told you off air that these days I need, if you're obligated to maximize my time with the kids while they're awake, so I don't really tailgate much anymore. But you know, by the time the game's over, they're asleep, so whatever, I can do whatever. But if after these last couple of games, I don't know if I'm really in a reveling mood after the games. So hopefully that gets better.
We're going to turn this around, damn it. Question for both you guys: the atmosphere at home games has changed going into the season. We got a nice big mural on the building by the pub. We got some title banners up on the suite level. And we got some new lights on the field. Vesti, what was your takeaway from all those things, and maybe any other things you picked up, different, new, improved, maybe not improved, from home opener night?
Yeah, actually, there was so much things to make note of that I took a list before the game started, and I don't want to monopolize this, so I'm just going to go through a couple. But I immediately when I walked in, since we got the preview tweet or something somewhere about that mural, I came in from the east end, I beelined over to the team building because I wanted to see that thing, hopefully before it got too crowded over there. And that mural looked awesome. I didn't realize it was in front of the bar. I thought it was actually more where the players came out. But I mean, regardless, very, very cool mural. I don't know if the whole wall should have artwork like that, but it would be cool to see some more in other spots. Although, with that stadium expansion talk the other week, I don't know how much of that wall is going to exist in a year or two's time, so maybe they don't want to put much effort into it. But yeah, the mural's cool, and then you know, walking over there, saw all the new banners. Those were great to see. I loved seeing them acknowledge something from the pre-Highmark era with the 2004?
Yeah, the 04.
Yeah. With the amazing old USL logo on there.
Yes, the old A-League logo. I was giddy when I saw they used that logo on there.
So yeah, those are cool to see. The player banners draping over the edge was cool to see. It just cool to see, you know, over the last few years, all the little things that they're adding around the stadium to make it look nice and more like, you know, this is not just a generic metal bare bones thing that, you know, really making the Hounds own the place. So it was great seeing all that stuff. And I'll mention maybe some other things in a bit. I don't want to
hog it all.
10 minutes.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, the mural. My first reaction was super over the top excited about it. Loved it. The more I looked at, I'm slightly. And maybe this is the. I don't know if we're gonna get into the Mount Rushmore thing. It's very of the last 10 years centric. And for being the 25th anniversary, I thought they could have gone a little more pre-Highmark, and I'm a little miffed that they didn't. The kind of shades of, you know, the Penguins rarely acknowledge that the Penguins existed prior to Mario type of stuff. So I guess the shine's come off of that a little bit, just on how narrow they focus the attention on that, and then some other things like along those lines. But it's really, really well done. I'm glad they did it. I'm still a huge fan of it. Make no mistake. Like you said, love the using the old Hounds logo and the old A-League logo on that one banner. I'm kind of reserving judgment on the light show until we see a goal. Because the pregame and before the start of the second half, like, it wasn't too over the top. Not saying it was a fan per se, but I was expecting a little more obnoxiousness, and that didn't happen, so somewhat relieved, but well, I guess we will see when a goal is scored.
The problem is that, and it was a much better show at the beginning of the second half. They just repeated the same thing because it was dark out at that
point.
Yes,
it looked better. It was more dark.
Yeah. So the problem with these lights is I think we're rarely ever going to notice them because it's most of the games in the middle of summer, it's not going to be dark enough to see them. You know, it's not like other stadiums that have a roof that create shadows and stuff that you can pick up on the lights more.
What are you trying to get at here?
I don't know. I don't think I brought it before, but I really think we should get a roof on our stadium.
It's Vesti's roof agenda coming back to the forefront.
So I think they're neat. I agree. It wasn't as over the top as maybe we were worried about, but I just really question their effectiveness in that kind of stadium with the lighting scenarios that we're going to have.
Yeah, mostly for the first half of games, it's going to be mostly ineffective. It'd have to wait till the second half. I'll share another bit of news on that, but first, Devin, what's your input? What were your takeaways from opening day atmosphere?
You know, honestly, like, probably my favorite thing, it's weird, but the banners, like, I really liked that they put the banners up. Maybe not the 2019, like, Eastern Conference one. I don't know how necessary that is. That's kind of like, kind of feels like Nashville in their Eastern Conference banner. I do like that they...
I want to defend it only in that that was a year that the East and West did not play each other. And it was a legitimately balanced schedule. Like, it was more balanced than even what they call balanced, you know, now. It was legit.
Everyone... So it's almost like the player shield, basically. Like, it's you can only play who's in front of you. So.
Yeah, and they were the best team in the
East. I did not consider that.
I almost put that above the player shield in my mind just because it was legitimately a balanced schedule, and the East and West never crossed over.
Yep. Yeah. And the only other thing, like, I would say with that is, like, maybe in the future they get some, like, more permanent looking, nicer ones. But, like, I love the idea. Like, that's one of my favorite things that they did. There's also a lot of just, like, little random things. Like, they got, like, a splash counter now for the balls to go into the river. Oh, geez, I thought that was interesting.
Thank you for bringing that back up.
But, yeah.
Splash counter.
Yes. I forgot who the sponsor is already, but it is sponsored.
Stateside's vodka. It's the new, like, vodka, flavored vodka seltzer drink thing. Stateside, is that the name of it?
For some reason, I had a fever dream, I guess, that it was like a bathroom remodeling company or something.
I mean, I'm fairly certain. I mean, we're not doing the sponsorship any good if we can't remember what it was, but I'm fairly certain it was the vodka drink.
I'm not saying I'm right. I just, for some reason, that was in my mind. That, like, something that actually played into the splash. But, you know, I guess it could be, you know, drinks and splashes also work.
Yeah, I mean, like, overall, like, I thought it was pretty good with just adding to the atmosphere. But, I mean, you can only do so much if you're not scoring any goals. So it kind of felt a little flat because of that. But some improvements for sure.
I hope that... I'm assuming it's the case, but I don't know. Will the splash power reset every game, or are they going to keep going all year long?
Oh, I would hope it goes up all year.
Yeah.
What's the point if it just resets?
I mean, but they'd be very houndsy for them to do that. Because they forget to write down the number, and they just... they have to reset it.
They're going to accidentally... they're going to overwrite the file one day, and they'd be like, oh, crap, what was it at?
We're back to one. Or just it goes generic, and they don't count anymore. Does anyone have strong opinions on having person with the flag run out before the teams walk out?
Meh. I mean, it's not terrible. It's fine. I don't have a strong opinion either way.
All right.
Yeah, me either. I didn't notice the guy almost clocked ammo because I didn't quite know where he was.
Hey, what?
Ammo ran out right after him, and then the guy starts, like, waving in a circle, and it almost got ammo.
Oh, they didn't practice the routine.
Yeah, I got a little too close, I think.
That's good.
Honestly, I forgot. I thought it was ammo that was running out with the flag, which I feel like now would be a better idea.
You would think. But no, it was a guy with the flag. And then... I love watching... Because they do this in sports a lot now. They have people running around with flags. And then you watch them when they finish the routine where they stop having the kind of faux excitement and enthusiasm, and then they just kind of, like, slink away in the shadows after they're done.
Hey, speaking of flags, did we get new flags in our section?
Someone had crafted, however you want to phrase it, a Fort Highmark flag.
Yeah, our big flag game is improving.
The big flag game is stepping up.
I thought the little flags looked new, but maybe you guys just washed them or something.
I think that, yeah, they were washed and they were taken home for a little love, but I don't, unless I missed that part of a meeting, I don't think we bought new ones.
Yeah, you're the only one here that would know anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I may have fallen asleep during that part of the meeting, but I don't think we did.
Did you catch, so after the flag guys came out and stuff, I don't remember if it was before or after the anthem, but did you catch what the announcer said to, like, you know, kick the game off, more or less?
No. If I did, I don't remember.
I caught it. I wrote it down because it was like, oh my god. In like, you know, the start your engines type of voice.
Or that, like, was very cadence. Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah. It's soccer time, Pittsburgh.
Oh no! Do you remember that? Oh no! Oh no!
That was pretty bad.
Oh boy!
I forgot about that until you just mentioned it. Yeah.
Oh no!
I immediately wrote that down when I heard it.
Oh shit! That's unfortunate.
Yeah, we'll see if that continues.
So yeah, see if that come up with new stuff. That came up on the comment cards afterwards. Oh boy. Oh man. And then they had like Spirit Squad people kind of run around.
They had them towards the end of last year too, I think.
Did they? I don't remember people holding up like Let's Go Hounds cards. Was that last year?
I feel
like
maybe they were in the playoff game. I saw them before.
Okay.
If they had them last year, they didn't dare come to the Steel Army though. They just stayed over in the grandstand.
Yeah, well, they made that mistake this week.
Hey, yeah. they're probably new interns. They don't know the ropes yet.
Yeah.
But they do now.
Yeah, I guess so. I hope so. If they're listening, I'm deeply sorry. I didn't mean to be that direct about it, but please don't come back. As to the game itself, Orange County 2, Hounds nil. Without getting in too deep into the weeds on that game, since we have another one to get to, Devin, is there anything you wanna touch upon with that game?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if we've already talked about this. I mean, like, I know we have in the preseason, but Danny Griffin played, again, we're going to be talking about this in the next game, but he played a center back. And, like, he's not the whole issue back there, but I mean, that first goal, it just went right through the line. Like, it just feels like, and it, again, this continues to the Louisville game, but like, it just feels like no one's respecting any of our center backs. And it's like, why would you? Because none of the guys who are back there play center back. Like, that ball went right by Biasi. Like, he didn't even try to, because I don't know. It's just frustrating. And there's a lot to it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a central theme, I think, of what we discuss next, but the back line being in shambles is, to me, the biggest story of the first three games. Even more so than the one goal scored is... Because it's the one thing you'd expect with Bob is the back line will be
solid.
And it's everything but right now. And it's been a mishmash of who's in, who's out. Ironically, the one consistent piece through all these games has been Danny Griffin. And I don't think I'm stepping out of line to say I think everyone is done with the Danny Griffin as a center back experiment. No one's asking for more of that. I don't know. We'll get into that in a bit. Vesti, what was your takeaways from that game?
It looked like more of the same from the first game. Just no real creativity in the attack. I felt like the guys were getting pretty frustrated. I felt like Robbie in particular looked like... I talked to some folks at the game. To me, he started to come across as like the, fuck it, I'm going to try to carry this team on my back. Like, when a guy like him is doing multiple scissor kicks in a game, it's like, just feels like desperation. Now, granted, one did hit the post or the crossbar or whatever, but still, it just feels like, you know, just hitting the ball to hit the ball. And then a lot of, they love passing out to the wings. Even when they're like on top of the 18, they will just send it wide towards the corner for the inevitable cross in.
Yep.
And it's just, it's so predictable. It's so not working.
I remember one cross actually like hitting ahead that game, and it was that was all game. It was just crosses in to nobody.
Now it's funny. Yeah. Maybe my memory is selective on this, but I feel like there was less of that at the home game than there was the New Mexico game. Because part of my notes was that they finally did less of that and they played a little bit more, keep the ball on the ground, try to work, actually possess the ball into the box as opposed to crossing. So maybe I am choosing to selectively forget a lot of that stuff, but it felt more like they did a better job of not doing that than the week prior.
I don't know. I have a note that says, I noted a lot of, I called it east to west, you know, going out to the sides versus north and south. It just felt like they just really wanted to go out to the wings. And I distinctively remember a few times where they were at the top of the 18, like Walty in particular had it, and then he'd send it out towards the corner to whoever was out there at that time. And like, you know, it's getting bad when you hear rumblings in the supporters section about shooting the puck.
Yeah, people were definitely calling out Christopher Letang that game.
Yeah, people are, pulling that reference, which is never a good thing.
And yes, I have the stats pulled up. We had 11 crosses in the Orange County game and 6 for New Mexico.
Holy shit. My memory is so selective on that then, because I spent the entire New Mexico game just lose my mind about it, and I did not think about that much at all in the home game. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Shit. I mean, it felt like Orange County kind of lily-balled Bob Lilly, because the Hounds had all the possession but couldn't do anything with it. Wonderfully defended by Orange County, and then the second goal was a bit of a quick strike, and the first, well, both goals were, which is not necessarily very Bob-like, but it felt like they out-lily balled the Hounds.
Well, I think to what Devin mentioned earlier, the back line just being so disjointed, pretty much every goal except for PK last week have been like quick strikes through the middle of our line. So like we're getting beat the same way every week. And it's, I don't hope that something changes, but we basically have rolled out the same lineup every week and we're getting the same results, so I don't know what they're trying to do. The only difference is that Luke has started for DeShields the last two games because he's been injured. And this is getting into the next game a little bit, but once again, first half Louisville, same group of guys out there, same bad looks, uncreative looks, like nothing was happening. So I don't know. I think this lineup in the first three games have been a pretty poor experiment, and hopefully we see some shakeups.
That's what I'm, well, I mean, we'll get into what the Hounds could do in this off week, but I mean, the back line that's currently constructed, it ain't gonna get it done. I think there's no way around that at the moment. We haven't seen enough of Pierre yet, and I don't know if that's a fitness thing or what's going on with that, but that's a guy you penciled in as a starter kind of from the off, and that hasn't come to fruition. And then Hogan's been on the bench, Biase's been a little bit absent, and then after that, there's not a lot of hype back there. The Shield gets beat on the goal in New Mexico, and again, I don't think anyone's clamoring to see much more of Griffin as a CB. Yeah, but I guess we'll cross a little bit more of that when we get into the Louisville game. But before that, Devin, you, me, and some other people, we took a field trip midweek last week, did we not?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we got our Open Cup on. Steel City FC hosting a first round matchup against the Michigan Stars out of NISA, up at Ambrose, on the University of Pittsburgh campus. It was at least for me, I thoroughly enjoyed the evening, despite the home side going down 1-0 to the professionals. I was a bit blown away with how many people were there. I don't know what your expectation was, but
my expectation was like 600 people, and it was definitely at least double that. So
yeah, that was about my expectation as well, and they blew that out of the water. It was officially listed as 1,400 and change, but I feel like that even undercounts it, because that might have been tickets sold, and with all
there was people just walking in.
Yeah, and there was people just walking in, and I have a feeling that anyone that was wearing their academy stuff would just walked right in. I feel like 1,400 underestimates it. And it was nice seeing a lot of people there enthusiastic about the team. I mean, little kids walking up to these guys who are starting. Some of these people playing for Steel City, I mean, they were babies out there. And then a couple of the subs that came on late were probably closer to retirement age than they're getting their first job. But it, genuine enthusiasm for the home team. Little kids just looking up to it, talking to someone I know who's in the organization. Just he's beaming ear to ear about how some of those kids that they were playing were, I mean, kids that have been in that academy from the start, and this is kind of was their big showcase event, you know, night, you know, kind of coming out party. And in the first half, they more than held their own against the Stars. They were way ahead on the judges' scorecard, in my book.
Yeah, they took it to them pretty much the whole game, and it really was a shame. The only goal that went in was just kind of a defensive lapse, but yeah, probably should have won that one. It was very fun to watch, though.
Yeah, they put one off the post, I believe.
Yep.
Couldn't remember if the cross.
It was at least one.
Some, yeah. And then 82nd, 83rd minute, on a free kick, they got a little lax, and that's all it took. But again, at that point, as we were discussing, that was a young starting 11. And then the first guys that came off the bench were even younger. It was the size of some of those guys coming on the field were...
Yeah, they're tiny. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that's a little guy, and he's marking up next to someone who was quite bigger than him, and it kind of went the way you could see it coming just as the substitutions were rolling in. They would have to score first and then somehow bunker and hold, and it just couldn't be. But I really loved it. I love going to an Open Cup game. Just always first round, weird, different Open Cup experience that the Hounds weren't involved in, so I didn't have any real anxiety.
But you had one former Hound out there.
There was a former Hound. Nicky Kolarik, that guy looks like he's in better shape now than he did when he played for the Hounds, whatever that was, 8-9 years ago. He looked like a legit man out there. He looked in better shape. Kind of a shitty haircut, but good, you know, good for him. It's a shame he came off basically at the hour mark. I mean, it looked like it's basically what he had in his tank, but yeah, good on him. And for all the shit that's gone down with the Open Cup this year, for all the bullshit, you know, for those 2 hours, it was just a nice, pure, well-attended, Open Cup game without any of the stain. If you walked up to some random person in the crowd and asked them what their thoughts on Major League Soccer's tinkering or meddling with the tournament, you probably get a blank stare in your face because they wouldn't know what you're talking about because they don't care, for better or worse. But it was just like a nice, this is what the tournament should be, celebrating men's soccer in this country up and down the pyramid in all of its forms, from the pros down to these very regional clubs. And I enjoyed it. I soaked it all in. The damn ticket was $5 or whatever. $5 to park. It was awesome. I thoroughly loved it.
Agreed. It's great.
Vesti, you missed out.
Yeah, I know. I saw on the stream. It looked nice. It looked cold, but it looked nice.
It was definitely cold.
It was cold. That is for sure. It's fun when it's both cold and the sun is blinding you in the first half, so you have to kind of do that fake salute the flag thing for the first part of the match. But would Open Cup again for sure.
That we can do it in a couple of weeks here.
well, more than a couple weeks for us. We got
about a month and a half. Probably.
I mean, it would be nice if they would have won. We could have been back there in a couple of days' time if they would have gotten another home game, but. Not to be. They did post that they are looking forward to being back in the tournament next year, so it sounds like they plan on trying to make the run and qualify again, which would be awesome.
Did you look at their regular season schedule they posted recently?
I did not.
Our long-lost Rochester friends are apparently in their division or whatever.
What, the Flower City?
Yeah. Coming to Pittsburgh in May, I think it was. Not that anybody probably cares, but it's
they're a Rochester team, so
at least Rochester team shows up to Pittsburgh to play a game.
There you go.
This is gonna sound bad. But who cares at this point? I know Ambrose isn't their normal home field. Where are they normally playing at?
They play at like Nicasio Winery. There's like a stadium right beside there.
Really? All right.
I believe so, yeah. I'm trying to pull it up right now.
I mean, not that we need to make this Steel City FC chat, but I don't want to kind of tip my hat. I enjoyed how it's gonna sound corny, but like it felt very like pure and innocent. Like this is what it should be. And I, you know, the teams had to walk through the crowd to get down to the stadium, down to the field. And there's little kids, just they want to high five them, and yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Did you get that field?
It's on their website right now. I'm not seeing it, but right. I believe that's where it is. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, if you see it, have a definitive answer, we'll come back to it. This past weekend, the good news, the Hounds are off they've opened their scoring account on the air. Bad news is that their goal differential went down by 2. Pittsburgh won, Louisville 3. Eddie Kizib with your goal. Someone tell me if I'm crazy to think this. Because the answer might be yes. If Falau does not recklessly lunge in on that guy for no reason, and there's no PK called, is it fair to think that the Hounds could have had a bit of a smash and grab and get 3 points out of that game?
Yeah, because they were on their front foot there for a little bit. They could have. I mean, they definitely at least would have had a draw. Not that they would have deserved it based on the first half.
Oh,
but
no,
yeah,
look, I mean, smash and grab by in all counts.
Yeah, no, I think that's reasonable.
I think they I don't know if I would call it a smash and grab. Like, they didn't look terrible in the first, but in the second, I thought they looked like potentially the better of the two teams. Like, they were getting way more chances. Because it could just be onside, we would have had two more goals.
But Louisville could have and should have maybe had one or two more in the first half.
Yeah, that first, like, 20 minutes was probably the worst I've seen the Hounds in years at this point.
So the fact that, yeah, I mean, yes, the Hounds were on the ascendancy at that point. And Kizer with that tight one that gets flagged off. I know we're all going to be fairly negative on this, but there's still plenty of reasons to think that they could work this out all right. They started having some creativity there on the second half. Got lucky with some poor finishing by Louisville in the first half. Eric Dick, one of the best, maybe pure shot stoppers we've had in a while. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think. I mean, through the first three games, he's been good. We'll see how it is throughout the year, but. I mean, it's also he's had to stop a lot of shots, probably more than we're used to, and it might be making him look a little better than than we're used to.
I mean,
because Jamali, a lot of times, he didn't have to do much. So
correct, and somehow that man ended up with the USL goal save the season, yeah. Which still makes no sense to me. But if that save from last year was save the season, Eric Dick he's surpassed it with three or four times already this year.
Yeah, he when he can trust the defense to stick with their guys, like, he's got good positioning. We saw that. I mean, even in the first game, he was in the right spot a lot of the times to get the shots coming in. I think, you know, most of the goals are not really on him. It's our defender is just losing a guy or letting a guy run by, and. You know, him probably thinking that they would take him and not, you know, maybe being a little out of position because of that. You know, it's just the trust between him and the defense is probably the big knock right now.
I mean, not to take anything away from his performance, like, I also wonder, like, is there still, like, communication issues between Dick and the back line? Like, are they still kind of sorting out where they're expecting each other to be, that kind of thing. But yeah, because it's kind of hard to explain the way the back line looks right now.
It doesn't help that it's been jumbled up a lot with who's starting, and at least
yes.
With the center backs, the outside backs have been unchanged.
But you mean jumbled from our expectations?
Well, both that.
Because again, it's been the same back line for three games now.
No, it's not. The Shield started the first game, then he got hurt.
Yeah, he got injured, yeah.
Are then two and a half games then? It's been Rovi who got pulled, yanked, at two, Yossi, Griffin.
Are we thinking the Rovi thing was injury or...
I don't know.
It seemed a bit...
He didn't seem to be limping or favoring or anything like that. I mean, I wasn't paying too close of attention, but they definitely played a little more solidly once they took him out. So I don't know if
the lineup changed. It changed for the better, but we've seen Bob with some quick hooks before. 27 minutes, I think, would be the record.
Yeah, to burn a sub that early, like...
I think the last time he hooked somebody that quick, we had to get some milk cartons because we never saw him again.
I'm trying to think the last time he had a... I mean, he's hooked some people in the first half before. I'm trying to think the last time it was an injury. I don't know. We'll have to go through the stats and information department to get that one. I guess sticking to the outside backs, if you told me that the starters were going to be Eto and Rovi, I mean, it's fair to be a little concerned if that was the actual plan going into the season.
See, I don't know if that was the plan. Like, doesn't Biasi typically play outside back? And are we pulling him away from outside back to cover on center back because of the injury?
Maybe, but and that leads me to Pierre Caillé. Is he's your lock in first person on the sheet center back?
Yeah.
So agreed. is that an injury? Is that match is just not fit yet? What's the story going on there? Because to me, that's the linchpin that's screwing all this up right now.
Yeah, because if you had him in there, you could shift Biasi out as an option,
or get Danny back, wing back. Danny back up the field.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I feel like he's up the field half the game, anyways. I don't know why he's.
Yeah,
like,
especially when you get down. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know why they still are like trying to keep him in the center of the back line, but then also have him run up the field all game. Like he's got to be getting.
My theory of the case is Kaye gets whatever the issue is, fitness or stamina or an actual injury. All the pieces fall into place closer to what we'd expect it to be once he is starting as a center back. Maybe I'm being too hopeful with that, but that's been my read of the situation.
Yeah, I think it became really apparent the last couple games. I was really up on Jackson Walty in the preseason. I thought he looked really good, but I think there's definitely been some missing. And it's not just him missing passes, but like that holding mid position, kind of defensive mid, where Griffin had been playing. There's a noticeable like gap there where the ball's just not getting past that point. And I think Griffin going back to that role could help at least that first pass connect, and like at least like, you know, they're playing on the counter, the first pass just going right back to the other team because we're bobbling it. So yeah, I don't know,
because the midfield is the one thing we thought was going to be a strength going into this year, and it's not.
Yes.
Been so far.
Yes. And I think that's because we can't get it unless we're trying those long passes on the counter. We just can't get it out of our end because we can't make that first pass. So we don't even get it to the next midfielders.
And it can't be a situation of asking Danny Griffin to play a different position to find space for Walty to get on the field. Like, that's crazy, right?
No, yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, he looked decent in preseason, but I mean, we're playing Pitt, and you know, it's not the same level of competition, but he definitely hasn't shown like he's a lock to start.
Correct, and you want to get the guy minutes. And, you know, the other two teams he was playing in the next pro last year, that's not Louisville, you know, in terms of how the speed of the game. So these are his first championship minutes, and it's very apparent that Bob's super high on the guy, but not to the point that he's asking Danny fucking Griffin to slot back to CB because we gotta get Walty on the field.
Well, I think it's to your the kind of overall point of like we need Kaye and where the fuck's going on with Hogan figured out, because we see over the years that if there's a guy that Lily trusts, he'll shove him wherever he needs to in the field with the fill gaps, and so I feel like that's Griffin. He trusts Griffin to fill the gap, even if it's not going the best, and so that opens the spot up for Walty. And I was kind of ho-hum on Walty for the first two games. I thought he looked better at Louisville. He did have that one really good cross-ish up to Giza who was offside again. But
yeah, second one, yep.
But you know, one good thing a game doesn't really make it. So I definitely think once whatever the hell's going on with the center backs is figured out, Griffin will take a spot back there because he is the better player that we could use there.
Everyone on the squad is fit, healthy, available for selection. Devin, what's your back five look like?
Well, this is the thing. That was, you mentioned Hogan, and like he was really, really good last year. And if we had Hogan from last year, I think he's a lock with Kaye, whatever you want to call him, Attu, and the other wing back. I don't know who you'd want to put there. Yeah, but
who's your right back and who's your third center back?
Who am I forgetting here? So the right back, I'd like to see Blackstock there, but I mean, it's either Blackstock or Rivera. Maybe you split 45 with each of them, but I'm missing a center back here.
I think this is the hard one to fill in.
Oh, well, yeah, no. DeShields. If he's healthy, I went DeShields there because I think DeShields, yes.
Okay. Vesti, what's your back five?
Rovi, Hogan, Kayet, how are you supposed to pronounce that? Says three. Biasi, Blackstock.
You're taking Eto out.
So I was actually just thinking about this. Like, he was more in the midfield last year, right? He wasn't on the back line.
He was.
Is that another guy that's playing out of position to fill holes? And I don't think he looked particularly great in the back either. Maybe he's got to get pushed back up to the midfield as well.
What was the question I was asking all preseason up until we saw the pit game? Who is the left back on this squad?
Yeah, it's Attu, apparently.
Yeah, and no one was thinking it was Junior Attu.
Yeah, because with how strong he finished last year in the midfield.
He played there last year a couple times, and I recall him not looking great. And he's definitely played.
He was basically deputized there when Dos Santos was out.
Yes.
But it's still, you didn't think that was the answer going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Attu should be on the field, though. Like he's, and that might be another thing, is like we have too much depth at midfield, and he's trying to find options to get them playing. But if it's not working, you know, you got to get somebody else in there.
I mean, I thought that Attu, with how he was playing towards the end of last year, and hearing that Forbes was going to be a player coach this year, I was kind of thinking Attu might slide into his role more, and we would start seeing Forbes maybe as more of a sub. But he's been starting every game, because I guess Attu's got to go putz around the back line.
Now, when they signed Pierre, they made it sound like he could play a little bit of outside back. Does he maybe slot there?
I think he could. I'm trying to remember the few minutes that we've seen him play and just exactly where it looked like he was playing. But
you know, if that happens, I mean, I want Hogan back there. The Biasi thing is still kind of a mystery to me. Can I cheat and say they need to go find someone? And by someone, I mean a big striking tall body.
It's not like out of the question. Like they've made signings later than this point in the season, like in the recent past. Like I can see it happening, especially if like we go through the next couple games here and we only get a point or two. Like you kind of have to.
Do you trial a guy or two during this extra week you have off?
That maybe they already are.
I mean, I have no inside information, but it feels you can't keep running the same collection of people out there, and because damn it, something's got to change. And then when DeShields went down, that just it's sprinkled more chaos in the situation.
Let's go find Greenspan in that van somewhere.
I think it's tough to say if we should go get somebody because we've just seen so little of any of the new guys, really. This was the first game, I feel like, where we really had you know, a big wholesale change in the second half to bring in, other than literally everybody was new who came in the second half. And we took out all the guys we know. And to some extent, like, we were getting even more chances then. Once Sterling got in the field, he was pulling guys away for Kizer to make his runs.
That's the only reason I'm trying to stay optimistic. That I think the biggest signing of the offseason, and a guy that has a lot of expectation on his shoulder, has played, what, 22 minutes so far?
Yeah, he didn't look bad. Yeah, I mean, he didn't have much time to do anything, but I'm curious to see what he looks like in a full 90.
And you have to think he got back to town after a trip to Ireland to get his visa sorted out. He got back to town on Tuesday, as best I can tell. So that basically gives him Wednesday, Thursday, and probably a light session Friday morning to get ready. Now he has 2 weeks for the next game. You got to think.
You saying Sterling hat trick?
I'm saying Sterling in your starting 11.
Hopefully.
You taking the end out then?
Yes.
You're keeping Kizer?
Well, you know, yeah, I agree. You keep Kizer.
Our leading goal scorer, you're going to take him out?
He almost said two. I think, I don't know. It's hard to, because we've only seen Sterling play with Kizer, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's not enough data points to figure out if it's Babacar or Eddie Kizer that makes way.
It's funny we're talking about how, like, lackluster the attack is and just no creativity and stuff, and then we can't decide which one of them we want to bench for Sterling.
I mean, my first instinct was that Babacar stays on, because I feel like he offers something. He has a little more dynamism than Kizer. He maybe could do a little more link-up play with Sterling, as opposed to Kizer's kind of more of a straight goal scorer, poacher, finisher. But he's not going to set up the play for you.
Yeah, he's the guy that makes the runs, like, as we saw last game.
But if Sterling is also the guy who's going to make the runs, and because just looking at some of the video of him, he is a guy that has the potential to be a double-digit goal scorer, double-digit assist guy. Like, that's in him. But do you pair that guy with the outright, you know, tap-in finisher, or another guy that might be a little bit more of a playmaker, and let those two play off each other? To me, that's how it goes, but I'm judging this off of zero data points.
I don't know.
So let's take that into this next question. Hounds are off this weekend. Tampa comes to town the following weekend. Vesti, what if you're Bob sitting with an 0-3 record, what are you trying to do this week? Take advantage of this extra week off to change up whatever needs changed up to get a win next weekend.
I mean, I say you, since you have the time, you shake up the roster. You know, I said it a couple times already. We generally have had the same starting 11 for three games now, and it's just not working. So we need a new starting 11, or, you know, start, throw everybody into the bubble popper and hit it and see what comes out, you know, and then work on that for 2 weeks.
Devin?
Yeah, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say you don't need to change too much other than, you know, get Sterling in there. Hopefully get Kayette in there. So, we've had slow starts before. It's been a while. But if you look back to, 2021, I'm just, looking at the lineup. We had 1 point through the first three games. We're solidly beaten. And then you look at the lineup that we had out there. It wasn't that far from the lineup we used for the rest of the year and had a solid season. So, I think a lot of it is just fitness levels and just, you know, getting it together. So I don't know. I don't think you have to change a ton. I'm hopeful you don't have to change a ton and we'll get it together, but we'll see.
What was the big turning point last year?
Last year?
Yeah.
Was Danny Griffin.
Exactly. You know what could really change this season?
Moving Danny Griffin for center back.
getting Danny Griffin in the midfield.
I don't disagree.
That's, to me, the T is silent, I'm told. Kaye pops in there, pushes Griffin up, Walty to the bench, and I think that's the immediate change. And obviously there's going to be some change with Sterling as he's either closer to match fitness or ready to be match fit and ready to start. And I see how that changes that way. I still think they play two up top. It's not a single striker setup, but how that changes, I don't know. And they got to find a way to be more dynamic through the midfield. This, as we discussed about at the beginning of this, you know, bounce around this horseshoe around the box and then float in these crosses to no one in particular. That game needs to die a sudden death. And maybe that changes when you get Sterling in there and you play with the ball more on the carpet than they've done so far as you enter the box. Devin, just as a nice bow on this conversation to maybe see where we're really at. What's your panic level or concern level 1 through 10?
10 being extremely panicked.
You're in the room with the panic button. You're mashing it, and the panic being,
I'm gonna say,
the panic being Hounds do not make the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's the concern, I'm like a 3. I think the Hounds are solidly going to make the playoffs still. Now if they come out and they lose the next two games, then I'm gonna jump that up to a 7 or 8 pretty quick. But I think they're gonna look a lot more solid against Tampa. Yeah, I'm gonna say 3.
Festy?
I'd also go 3 or 4.
Okay. No, that's the right answer. That's absolutely the correct answer.
It's concerning, but it is a long season.
It's slightly raise an eyebrow concerning. But you're not even tilting your head yet to look back over your shoulder.
First lips, as I believe, as the saying goes. Mm.
That if you had to pick one person to sort out this defensive mess, it's going to be Bob. You're giving Bob an extra week to sort it out. I don't know. Gentlemen, we're just crossed the hour mark, so I guess our negativity towards this Hounds rush, Mount Rushmore, can, or at least my negativity, I don't want to speak for you two, but we can save that subject for a future episode. So we can probably start getting ourselves out of here. Vesty, any final thoughts going into this off weekend? Anything you wanna share with the audience?
Bob got a new hat.
Bob did get a new hat.
That's how good the first half was. That was my number one note, is Bob got a new hat.
Yeah.
So
good company, man.
I'm assuming it was Charlie. I didn't actually see the company, although I did not recognize the design. So good for Bob.
Someone may or may not have put out feelers to see if Bob would want and or wear the new Riverhounds dad hat on the touchline.
Riverhounds or the Stu
Army? Or the Stu Army. I don't know how that far the conversation went, but I know the inquiry was made. So just saying on that. Devin, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Steel City FT plays at Founders Field in Cheswick.
Oh,
for anyone who is still wondering.
I was still kind of, I mean, I forgot that I was wondering, but I remember that I was still wondering, and now I'm not wondering anymore. That's a field that always just comes up in conversations, probably more often than it should. It's like a nice catch-all place for a lot of teams and organizations.
You can head out there and watch Flower City Union a couple weeks here.
Yeah, give us the date.
I don't have it in front of me.
Try to remember. That's unfortunate. We'll pump it up before. Maybe we'll get someone from Steel City on, and we can gas up that one match. We'll get Caloric on here. It'd be great. All right. Oh, boy. We'd like to thank the Beautiful Game Network for providing the online hosting of Houndsy. Check out the wealth of soccer content being produced weekly at bgn.fm. The Houndsy theme music was composed and performed by Rocketman and the Space Babies. Check them out at facebook.com/spacebabiespgh. The show is produced by Joe Madurek. Email the show at pghstuarmy@gmail.com and put podcasts in the subject line. All complaints about the show can be sent to nick.noble@mail.wvu.edu. On behalf of Devin and Vesty, I'm Dan Yost. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back again soon.